Shabbos Daf Nun Beis. Tanna Dvei Menashe says that if you have a goat and the owner carved holes into its horns, the owner can put a halter in between those horns and you could go out with that goat on Shabbos. However, if you put the halter on a different way, then we're worried that the halter might come out and then the owner will come to carry it inside in the public domain, and that's why we only allow him to do it that way. Rav Yosef asks, what if you put a halter into the goat's beard? Because if the goat tries to get out, then it's going to pull the hairs of its beard and it's going to hurt itself, so therefore it wouldn't do that. However, the halter could become loose on its own and fall out all on its own, and then the owner might come to carry it in the public domain. And the Gemara answers, Teku, we are not sure. The Mishnah had said that a cow cannot go out with a strap between its horns. Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba says that Rav and Shmuel disagree. One says that whether the strap is there for decoration or to control the cow, it's going to be usser. And the other says that it's okay if the strap is there for control, even though this is an excessive restraint, but he holds that you can't put it there for decoration. Rav Yosef says, we could say that Shmuel is the one who says that you can put the strap on the cow for control, because Rav Huna Bar Chiya says in the name of Shmuel that the halacha is like Hananya, that an excessive restraint is okay, and that's why Shmuel allows the restraint there for control. Abaye questions this, though. Rather, you should say that Shmuel is the one that says that both are going to be usher for decoration or for control, because Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that they asked Rebbe, if you switched the restraints of different animals, what's the halacha? And Rabbi Yishmael bar Rabbi Yossi says that my father said that four animals can go out with a halter, the horse, the mule, the camel, and the donkey. So isn't this teaching that a camel with a nose ring is not okay? And this teaching is in the name of Shmuel, so we're seeing that Shmuel would prohibit an excessive restraint, because the nose ring is an excessive restraint. So the Gemara is like, okay, so let's go with Abaye's version and say that really Shmuel is the one that says that both are usher. But the Gemara says, why are we going with Abaye's version over Rabbi Yosef? Because Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi explicitly says in the name of Rav that both for decoration or for control, the strap is going to be usher. And Rav Chiya bar Ashi also says explicitly in the name of Shmuel that Shmuel allowed the strap to be there for control, but not for decoration. So Gemara is like, okay, yeah, let's go with this version of Rav Yosef. However, we have a brisa which seems to contradict Rav that says if an owner tied a leash or a strap to the para aduma, the para aduma is going to be valid. However, if this leash, this strap, is an excessive restraint, then that would be considered a burden, and therefore the para aduma shouldn't be valid because the para aduma can't have any burden on it. So this is clearly a challenge to Rav, because we're showing that the leash, the strap that you're putting on the para aduma, is not considered an excessive restraint. So in that case, why does Rav not allow you to go out with it on Shabbos? It shouldn't be any burden. So the Gemara brings him three answers, that this is a special case. Abaye says it's where the owner is taking the para aduma from city to city and you need the extra restraint. Rava says it's different because the para aduma is different because it's very expensive, so you're going to want the extra control. And Ravina says, again, it's a rebellious cow, and so too, you're going to want the extra control. The Mishnah had said that a horse and all animals that normally go out with a collar can go out and be pulled by their collars on Shabbos. So what does this mean, going out and being pulled? Rav Huna says that it's okay if the collar is there as a restraint or if it's just tied around the neck of the animal for decoration. In both cases, it's okay. But Shmuel says that it means that you can only use the collar if it's as a restraint, but you can't use it as a decoration. We have a brisa which supports Shmuel that says that animals can go out with a collar if they can be pulled by it, meaning that if it can be used as a restraint, which is exactly like Shmuel, who says it can only be used as a restraint. Rav Yosef said that Rav Huna's cows went out with their halters as decoration. Rav Dimi says in the name of Rav Chanina that the mules of Rebbe's mules would go out with a halter. So does this mean, we saw that Rav Huna's cows went out as a decoration, but when Rav Dimi said in the name of Rav Chanina that the Rebbe's mules went out with a halter, is this talking about as a leash for a restraint or for a decoration? So Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda came and he said in the name of Rav Chanina that Rebbe's mules went out with the halters as a decoration. So some students came and said this entire thing before Rav Asi, but they added, we don't actually need the extra testimony of Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda because we could learn everything from Rav Dimi's original testimony, because obviously Rav Dimi was coming to teach us that Rebbe allowed his mules to go out with the halter as decoration, because Rav Yehuda already said in the name of Shmuel that they taught this, that Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel already taught that they asked Rebbe, if you switch the restraints of different animals, what's the halacha? And Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yossi said that my father taught that four animals could go out with a halter, the horse, the mule, the camel, and the donkey. And Rebbe didn't argue with this, so obviously we see that Rebbe already agrees that a mule can go out with a halter as a leash on Shabbos. Or if Dimi was coming to teach us the further halacha that Rebbe even allowed his mules to go out with the halter as a decoration. However, Rav Asi says back, no, we really need both teachings. Because Rav Dimi teaches that Rebbe accepted the ruling in the first place that mules could go out with a halter. We may not have known that. Just because Rebbe was silent doesn't mean he accepted it. So Rav Dimi is teaching us he did accept it. And Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda's extra testimony, his further testimony is teaching that Rebbe even allowed them to go out with a halter as a decoration. The Mishnah had said that you could sprinkle the Parah Aduma ashes on a collar or immerse them in a mikvah, even when they're still on the animal's necks. However, collars can't become tummy, because the Mishnah says that the collar is basically made of like a ring, that the Mishnah says that a ring of a person can become tummy, but the ring of an animal, the ring of a utensil, and all other rings can't become tummy. We see from here that the ring of an animal can't become tummy. So why, how did this collar become tummy? Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka answers that the Mishnah is talking about a collar that was the collar that originally was used as a human adornment. It was originally a human ring, and then it was transferred to an animal's ring. So it became tummy while it was being used for a human, and now it's on the animal's neck as part of the collar. Rav Yosef gives a different answer. He says, since the person pulls the animal with the collar, it's basically considered the utensil of a person. He has a brisa which supports this idea that says that a metal staff of an animal can become tummy, because the reason for that is since a person is using that staff to prod the animal along, it's going to be considered like the utensil of a person. So to by the collar, since a person is using it to pull their animal, the collar is going to be considered like the utensil of a person. The Mishnah further says that you can immerse the animal's collars even when they're on the animal's neck. However, this doesn't make sense because the ring is going to be so firmly attached to the collar, so the water can't flow in between the collar and the ring. It's going to be an interposition, a chatzitza, a block between the ring and the collar, and therefore putting in the mikvah shouldn't be good because the water can't get everywhere. So if Ami answers, dealing with a hammered collar where you widen the hole that the ring is in, and therefore there's no chatzitza, there's no block there because the water can flow freely to all parts of the ring and the collar. So it seems from this the Gemara notes that Rav Ami agrees with Rav Yosef that the animal collar is considered like a human's utensil, because it can't be Rav Yitzchak Navcha that this was a human's ring and then it was transferred to an animal, because otherwise when you go to hammer this collar out, that's going to be a physical change. And when you physically change a utensil, it loses its tumah, because we have a Mishnah, and the Mishnah teaches that there's a general rule by utensils that they can only become tumah when they are a finished, completed utensil. So this Mishnah teaches that a utensil could become tumah even if it's not fully finished. If the craftsman mentally intends that he's not going to add anything else on, it's now considered finished, and they can lose their tumah status when they are changed. So it seems from here that from the fact that Rav Ami says that they're still going to be tummy after they've been changed, that he does not agree with Rav Yitzchak Navcha that we're dealing with a human's ring. However, the Gemara says that Rav Ami could even be going like Rav Yitzchak Navcha if he agrees with Rav Yehuda, because we have a brisa that Rav Yehuda says a physical change only works if it's a destructive change. An improvement will not get rid of the tumah status, and hammering the collar is going to be an improvement, and that's why just hammering and improving the collar alone would not get rid of the tumah status. Or we could just give a totally different answer to the Mishnah and get around this whole entire problem, that the Mishnah is dealing with a collar that already had wide holes, so there's no block between the ring and the collar, and then that's fine, and that's how the water can flow freely. There was a student from the Upper Galil who asked Rebbe Lazar, I heard that there's a distinction between one type of ring and another, but I'm not sure what the distinction is. So Rebbe Lazar answers, by Shabbos, there is a difference between rings for carrying, if you're carrying a ring with a seal or one without. However, by Tumah, all rings are the same. But this doesn't make sense, because we have a Mishnah that says a ring of a person can become Tumah, but an animal's ring cannot become Tumah. So Rebbe Lazar was only talking, the Gemara answers, about a person's ring. There's no distinction between those. However, we have a brisa that says that a ring which is used for a belt or to tie up your sleeves, that cannot become tummy. Only the ring of a finger can become tummy. So we see even by human rings, there's a distinction. So the Gemara answers, Rebbe Lazar is only dealing with no distinctions between rings of your finger. However, we have a Mishnah that says that a metal ring with an almug signet can become tummy, but the ring of a ring made of almug which has a metal signet cannot become tummy. So we see even a ring of a finger can have a differentiation between them. So the Gemara answers that Rebbe Lazar is only dealing with a ring made entirely of metal. The same student had another question for Rebbe Lazar. I heard that there's a difference between needles, but I'm not sure what that difference is. And Rebbe Lazar answers that by Shabbos, if you wear a needle which has an eye, that's going to be an Isser D'Oraisa. But if you wear a needle that doesn't have an eye, you kind of pin it to your shirt and it doesn't have an eye in it, it's not considered a full utensil, and that's not going to be an Isser D'Oraisa. However, all needles are the same for Tumah. But again, we're going to question this because we have a Mishnah that says that a needle whose eye or its point has been removed is going to be Tahor, right? So we see that there is a distinction whether if it's a full needle or not a full needle, whether it can become Tummy or not. The Gemara answers that Rebbe Lazar is only dealing with a full needle when you have a full needle that has an eye and a point, then there's no distinction. However, we have a mission that says that a rusty needle, the halacha depends what the situation determines what the halacha is by a rusty needle. If you can't sew with the needle, then it cannot become tameh. However, if you can sew with the needle, then it can become tameh. So we see there's even a difference between full needles. And Devei Rabbiana just adds that this is only true as long as you could tell that it's still a needle. It still maintains, you know, the semblance of a needle. However, the Gemara is going to answer that Reb Elazar is only dealing with polished needles. In that case, there is no difference. However, we have a braisa that says that a needle that has an eye or doesn't have an eye, either way, you can move it on Shabbos. However, an eye, if the needle has an eye or doesn't have an eye, that's going to make a difference when it comes to tumah. So Abaye answers that this braisa is really explained like Rava, that we're only talking about unfinished needles, which have no eyes. But again, Reb Elazar is only dealing with full needles, so that's why this braisa is not going to be a disproof to him. The Mishnah says that donkeys can go out with a saddle cloth tied to them. Rams can go out attached. Ewes can go out held, tied, or fastened. Goats can go out with their udders tied. Reb Yossi forbids all of these cases except for ewes to go out while they're fasten. And Rabbi Yehuda says that goats can go out with their udders tied to dry them up, but if it's there as a pouch to catch the milk, then they cannot go out with those. Shkayach.